On behalf of His Excellency Bishop Carroll, His Excellency Bishop Sante, the priests, brothers, and seminarians at Immaculate Heart Seminary, Mother Mary Bosco and the Daughters of Mary, I wish you all a very blessed and a very Merry Christmas. The epistle for this evening's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to Titus, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time there went forth a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This first enrollment was made by Cyrenus, the governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass that when they were there, her days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him up in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds watching and keeping the night watches over their flock. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the brightness of God shone around them. And they feared with a great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of good will." Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And these words are taken from the Gospel of today, this evening's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, on this most beautiful Christmas night, there is a short story I would like to share with you. It is a story about a criminal named Jake. Jake led a very evil life. And because of his terrible crimes, including murder, he was sentenced to imprisonment. However, the jail time that he served did not improve his attitude. Jake remained resentful and bitter, and his heart was even more hardened. Fighting was his norm, and Jake became even more dangerous while behind bars. In fact, the guards were ordered to keep an extra close eye on him. Now, one of the old prison guards who pitied Jake, he went out of his way to be friendly with him. But he noticed that Jake's attitude was always cold and unresponsive. Jake never made eye contact, but just angrily stared into the distance. Clearly, his heart was filled with deep anger. Well, one day, a mother and her large family came to visit one of the other prisoners. And Jake happened to be mopping the floor of the entrance area that day. And after the preliminary paperwork, the family started up the stairs. But the old guard, who pitied Jake, he noticed that the mother was having some difficulty with her toddler. And so he told Jake to help with the little one. The old guard was hoping to break Jake out of his gloominess. Jake was annoyed with this request, but then he became surprised when the weary mother, appreciative of the help, just handed her son to Jake, while she sincerely said, "Thank you." And the little boy looked at the big, gruff prisoner and smiled as he reached out a hand toward him and placed it on Jake's shoulder. At this, the sullen grimace on Jake's face softened a bit. Gently, tenderly even, Jake carried the little fellow up the stairs. And when they arrived at the top, the boy wrapped his arms tightly around Jake's neck, as if he did not want to leave him. Just imagine that scene. After so many years of gloom and hatred in Jake's life, he now faced this little smiling boy, little arms around his neck, refusing to let go. They reached their destination, and Jake placed the little fellow down. And in all innocence, the boy smiled, and he asked the gruff prisoner, he said, "Sir, next time I come here, will you carry me?" And for the first time in years, a smile broke out on Jake's face, and he promised the boy that he would. He returned the boy to his mother, bowed to the mother a good day, and he hurried back downstairs to his duties. And from that day on, as the old friendly guard who later related this incident, he noticed that Jake was a changed man. He became a model prisoner. He noticed that a child had reached the heart of Jake when no one else could. Well, my dear friends, how many of us are like Jake? Not because we've committed some notorious crimes or have been stuck in prison for years, but how many of us are weary of heart, prisoners, so to speak, to anxiety, overwhelmed by burdens, worn down by the duties of our state in life? How many of us are surrounded by sorrows? Maybe a family member who is bitter, spouses struggling to understand each other, maybe a loved one who has lost the faith. How many of us are bombarded by doubt, not sure what to do, how to raise our family in this un-Catholic world, filled with stress because of the great responsibility of providing for our loved ones? How many of us suffer trials and tribulations and really can't help but let the anger and anxiety seep into our hearts at times? Well, my dear friends, on this Christmas night, go to Bethlehem, go to the crib, and there you will find peace, consolation, and joy. When you look at the nativity scene, or read in the gospel the account of the first Christmas, what do you see? You see everything that is considered a suffering or trial. No one likes to be searching for shelter at midnight. No one is pleased with piercing cold biting at their skin. No one really enjoys sitting in a stable, especially while caring for an infant, with the smell and noise of cows and all the other animals. If you really think about it, no one would want to be in the situation that we find the Holy Family in on that first Christmas night. But if we look closely at the Holy Family, at the stable at Bethlehem, amidst all of this suffering, we find nothing but joy. We see thousands of angels gathered around, exulting with joy. We see a few poor shepherds with dirty hands, their hair all disheveled, dust covering their clothes, and yet we see wonder in their eyes. We see Saint Joseph, tall and strong, making sure everything is as comfortable as could be, and he is happy to be of service. And we see the most beautiful Virgin Mary, with such a serene joy as she holds her infant babe and cheerfully invites the strangers in to see him. On every face, there is nothing but smiles. And why? Why is everyone so joyful? The angel tells us. The angel told the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For this day is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." My dear friends, it is so joyful because God is with us. It is so joyful because we see what St. Paul talks about in his epistle, a mystery. A mystery which hath been hidden from all eternity until now. What is that mystery? Simply put, it is the mystery of the immensity of God's love for you. The very littleness, the weakness, the frailty of the divine child reveals the greatness of his love. For it is the measure of what he was willing to do to gain our love. Look then, my dear friends, at his tiny hands. Look at his infant feet, his wide, innocent eyes, and his tender smile. Draw close enough to feel the warmth of his little heart beating. God lies there as a babe in the crib so that one day he could be crucified to the cross. That is why, I'm sure you notice, in almost all nativity scenes, the little baby Jesus, his hands are always stretched out, as if he were reaching out, not toward Our Lady or Saint Joseph, but he's reaching out toward you. He wants to embrace you. It does not matter if you're poor or rich. It does not matter if you've been a bad person, if you've lived an immoral life, maybe even a life like Jake in the story. It doesn't matter if you haven't cared about our Lord these past years, or have simply forgotten about him. He still wants you to come to hold him so that he can embrace you, so that he can comfort your heart. He wants to embrace the sinner, for that is who he has come to save. You know, I was thinking just recently, I had a sick call at Albany Medical Hospital, And after I was finished with the sick call and was trying to look for my car in the parking lot, a man stopped me on the street and was very happy to see a priest. He said, "Father, my son is very sick in the hospital." And he said, "Father, he has lost his faith since his mother died a couple of years ago." And he seemed very desperate. He said, "Please tell me, how can I get a priest to go see him if he wants a priest?" So I explained to him what to do, and I gave him my card and the seminary phone number. And thank God, both he and his son called asking for a priest, and we were able to visit the son. But this whole situation really made me think, especially in light of our founder's and spiritual father's death, Bishop Kelly's recent passing. It really made me think how blessed we are. This man had no idea how to get a hold of a priest, no access to help, except he happened to see me passing on the street. How blessed we are to have true priests, religious so available, the sacraments so available to us. How blessed we are to have the true Mass, our Lord, the true body and blood of Christ, present in our very tabernacle, when really so many in the world do not have this. We can say, and it certainly seems, that God has a special love for us here in this chapel. I would say with how much he has given us and blessed us with, it seems he considers us to be his special friends, that he reaches out for our embrace in particular. And so, my dear friends, just as Jake in the story was moved by that little boy reaching out to him, let us be moved by the divine infant's love towards us. Let us be moved to change our lives, determined to prove our love back to the divine child by being patient and cheerful, especially in our sufferings. And my dear friends, let us be joyful, because we really have every reason to rejoice. Because no matter what has gone on in our lives, what has happened in our past, no matter the crosses or difficulties that may arise, there is one thing we can always be sure about, and that is God's great and burning love for us. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.